content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Well, hello there. Happy Valentine's Day. This is Fred Brack, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from Our State magazine. Today's reading of Our State is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving our community since 1974 and underwriting our podcast for over 15 years. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. And now we return to the February issue, 2023, of Our State magazine, celebrating North Carolina. The theme this month is Carolina Candyland. I think that's primarily pertaining just to the, I guess maybe there'd be a few other items, but I think it's mainly the pictorial, because what we're going to focus on today is the Our State Made in North Carolina Awards. Each year, Our State's Made in North Carolina Awards celebrate the talent and creativity of North Carolinians. Top honors in 2022 went to the creators of a special lamb dish in Cornelius, a knife smith, and a brewer of a probiotic elixir in Asheville, candle makers in Durham, and a sock manufacturer in Mount Airy. Meet the state's winners, honorable mentions, and judges. Here's a winner in the drink category that we're going to start with. All a buzz. Now, I didn't notice as glancing through this article, they told me how to pronounce this three-letter word that I'm not familiar with, so I'm just going to pronounce it as I might in English. Jun, J-U-N, is an ancient beverage shrouded in mystery. Made by fermenting honey and tea, its origin is uncertain. But today, a group of women near Asheville are writing their own chapter in its history, written by Katie Kane. Shanti Volpe stands beneath a colony of painted foot-long bees crawling along a giant honeycomb in a mural on the side of Honey and the Hive. A familiar sound welcomes her, a soft buzz from the resident bees that frequent the shop's flower beds. The late owner of the honey shop, Volpe's friend Sarah McKinney, introduced Volpe to beekeeping. She was always so excited about sharing stories from the hive, Volpe says, and I was just so inspired by her. Volpe and her team, which she lovingly refers to as her hive, makes Jun, a sparkling probiotic beverage, in the basement of her parents' house in Weaverville, just down the road from the bee mural. My company was inspired by the honeybees and the way they work together for the greater good, she says. Whenever Volpe passes the mural on her way back to the junnery and her hive, after selling Jun at various farmers' markets, she takes a moment to admire its bright colors, a reminder of where the bees she fell in love with have taken her. Jun is thought to be an ancient beverage, similar to kumbuka, made with honey and green tea. Volpe's company, Shanti Elixirs, adds other natural flavors like blueberry and basil, a combination that won the drink category of the 2022 Made in North Carolina Awards. Often referred to as the champagne of kombucha, Jun's ingredients give it a smooth taste and slightly sweet flavor. With Shanti Elixirs, Volpe has created a successful woman-run small business out of making and educating people about Jun and all its health benefits. As the driving force behind the young company, Volpe first had to educate herself on the beverage before sharing her knowledge with others. In 2016, Volpe took her first sip of Jun at a beekeeping workshop in Asheville. With a budding home apiary, she was eager to learn all she could about and from the bees. I would find myself out in my apiary, sitting there mesmerized, Volpe says. I'd watch them go in and out and work together. The local beekeeper who led the workshop also brewed her own jun, some of which she brought to the presentation for folks to try. I could not believe the taste, Volpe says, and the effect that it has had on my body almost immediately was pretty profound. Observing how Volpe responded to the jun, the instructor offered to show her the brewing process and gave her a SCOBY, or symbiotic culture of bacteria and yeast. The small disc-shaped culture will replicate itself regularly, much like a sourdough starter. That SCOBY was the first in a collection that would soon reach into the tens of thousands. Volpe learned that the SCOBY needs honey and green tea to ferment. After a week of the ingredients brewing together, the pH of the mixture drops, and the SCOBY transforms the green tea and honey into useful anti-inflammatory acids that are believed to be beneficial for the mind, gut, and immune system. This process gives the beverage probiotic qualities, those that aid in digestion, Volpe says. As a lactation consultant and registered nurse at Mission Hospital in Asheville, a job she still works while operating Shanti Elixirs, Volpe has always been fascinated by health and wellness. After learning how to brew jun, she began to make it for friends and family. Shortly thereafter, she brought her first large batch of jun, a ginger variation, to the Lake Eden Arts Festival in Black Mountain. Whenever she offered people a sample, she would hear a common refrain. What's jun? Oh, wow, this is great. Where can we get more? Because jun wasn't exactly a grocery store staple, access to the beverage and its health benefits wasn't widespread. In 2017, Volpe began going to farmers markets in and around Asheville, sharing her creations with the community and building her hive. A group of people who love working together and really love their jun. I was a fan before I ever knew about it, says Colleen Bird, who tried her first sip of blueberry basil jun at Avenue M, formerly Volpe's aunt's restaurant, and one of the first places in town to sell the beverage. Now, Bird works primarily in beverage packaging and is an integral part of the hive. She and the other women who left corporate jobs have found peace and purpose at the ginery, working alongside their queen bee. There's not an ingredient, a label, or a bottle that doesn't get touched by all of us, Bird says, and we're proud of it. Volpe pours the blueberry basil jun into small compostable cups and passes them around to members of the Buncombe County Beekeepers' Cup. As part of their monthly meeting, they've invited Volpe to talk about her jun. Some familiar faces are in the crowd, like Greg Rogers of Haw Creek Honey, who supplies Volpe with about 60 gallons of honey a month. The group listens closely as Volpe explains the drink's elusive history. It is believed, she says, a small pair of bronze bee earrings dangled from her ears that jun hails from the Himalayas, and the jun in Chinese means probiotic, fungus, or bacteria. She goes on to recount tales of Asian warriors who would take jun with them as they went off into battle. The beverage reportedly gave them all the nutrients they needed to fight when food was scarce. She goes on to describe how each Shanti Elixir flavor is also intended to provide a distinct effect for the drinker. Tulsi Rose, for example, is a love elixir, and elderberry lemon provides balance. Next up for the Beekeepers Club is blueberry basil, the creative elixir, meant to provide mental strength and renewal. Before the group takes a sip, Volpe reads a prayer aloud. May this blend bring vitality to the heart and relaxation to the mind, restoring natural rhythms of sleep, rest, and activity. The room falls quiet for a moment as everyone enjoys the sweet drink. At the end of her talk, Volpe fields questions from the audience. Can you use other herbs to flavor the jeon? One beekeeper asks. Have you ever made a pawpaw flavor? Another wonders. What about persimmons? Volpe smiles. It seems that the creativity is just beginning to flow. Now, if you're interested in ordering from Shanti Elixirs or to find out where jeon is sold or served near you, visit shantielixirs.com. And now, the winner in the food category, sun-raised foods in Cornelius, solar salami. When an alternative energy entrepreneur turned to sheep as an eco-friendly way to help maintain the grass around panels, delicious serendipity struck in the form of lamb salami. Under the watchful eye of a team of Great Pyrenees livestock guard dogs, 500 sheep graze among the solar panels that cover more than half of Montgomery Sheep Farm in Biscoe, a rolling 200-acre property at the edge of Uwari National Forest. For the animals, it's business as usual. Inside the farm's renovated bunkhouse, however, about 50 people are sitting down to a farm-to-table lamb feast. The first course, a North Carolina-sourced charcuterie board of fruits, cheeses, jams, crackers, and the star of the show, lamb salami from sun-raised foods, including a fennel-flavored finichonia and a sweet soppressata. Joel and Tanji Olson created Sun-Raised Foods in 2018 as a spinoff of Joel's work as a solar farm developer. The company regularly hosts lamb and wine dinners at the farm in Biscoe, as well as restaurants around the state. Guests can taste not only the charcuterie, but all the other cuts of meat, such as shanks, chops, and ground lamb. A Charlotte native, Joel has always had a global outlook and concern for the environment. While studying international relations and Japanese at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, he spent a year abroad in Japan at a summer in Norway, where he began learning Norwegian, the language of his ancestors. After graduation, he spent 15 years working in Norway, where he met Tanji. After Joel and Tanji moved to the United States in 2007, he landed a job at a solar equipment manufacturer and later started his own solar development company, O2 Energies. The company was a pioneer in bringing solar farms across North Carolina, which now ranks fourth in the country for solar generating capacity. These days, Joel operates and maintains the farms that he built. That's where the sheep come in. Keeping the grass tidy beneath solar panels is required maintenance. Grazing sheep do that in an efficient and ecologically friendly way, Joel says. The Olsons began working with sheep farmers and formed a sister company, Sun-Raised Farms, which organizes flocks of sheep to control vegetation at more than 20 solar farms across North Carolina. And once they had sheep, selling lamb meat and salami was a logical next step. I grew up with lamb salami. It's fairly popular in Norway, actually, Tanji says. She remembers eating salami at breakfast smorgasbords. We have breads, and you put out cheese, salami, pâtés, and jelly is kind of common, Tanji says. Then you pick your favorite and put them on the bread, and that's your breakfast. The Olsons drew on Tanji's childhood memories as they considered ways to market their lamb. We were thinking that we should do something different than just having lamb chops, and started experimenting with salami, she says. At first, she worked with a local salami maker whose lamb salami included pork fat. But the Olsons wanted their product to be made with 100% lamb. One of Sun-Raised Foods' customers, Chef Joe Kindred of Kindred Restaurants in Davidson, recommended a new partner, a former charcuterie expert at a specialty food realtor, Dean and DeLuca, who helped the couple develop their current recipes. They started with 6 different types, then narrowed down their offerings to 2, a finocchiona and a sweet soppressata. both based on Italian dry-cured salamis, traditionally made with pork. But Sun-Raised Foods created a unique recipe using lamb. Finocchione gets its name from a key ingredient, finocchio, the Italian word for fennel. Soppressata is made with cracked red pepper that gives it a spicy kick. Sun-Raised Foods' sweet soppressata gets its sweetness from red wine and a hint of cherry. The salami's unique flavor can be attributed to the breed of sheep. Most lamb consumed in the United States comes from wool sheep raised in New Zealand or Australia. But the Olsons raise Katahdin sheep, which have hair instead of wool. Their meat has a milder flavor and is much more suited to the American palate, Joel says. The Olsons sheep also stand apart because they're raised on a farm that is certified animal welfare approved. That means they're pasture-raised without hormones, using sustainable, high-welfare farming practices. In 2020, Chef Jennifer Brulé hosted one of Sun-Raised Foods' first lamb and wine dinners at the Davidson Ice House. The lamb is not normally on the menu there. Brulé worked with the Olsons to create a successful dining experience. Guests were ushered into the dining room, handed a glass of wine, and directed to a grazing table, a counter transformed into a giant charcuterie board. For most, it was their first taste of lamb salami. Brulé had never seen anything like the Feast or Sun-Raised Foods salami. They're as good as any salamis that I've had while living in Europe, she says, and I'm absolutely crazy about charcuterie. Brulé says that Americans are often hesitant to eat lamb because they're afraid that it'll have a gamey taste. Not so with Sun-Raised Foods salami. It's very delicate, she says. They got the balance just right. She likes to serve those salamis as a past hors d'oeuvre or for grazing, alongside ripe pear slices or apple compote. It has a savory flavor punch, she says, but it's not heavy. Introducing more diners to North Carolina raised lamb is the whole point of dinners like the one at Montgomery Sheep Farm. But for Joel Olson, these events are also about promoting his farming model. We're looking for opportunities to use the land for more than just generating clean electricity, he says. And this dual use of land is really the key, I think, for the future. Sun-Raised Farms is on Jetton Road in Cornelius, North Carolina. They have a website, sunraisedfoods.com. Now we have a food honorable mention. Andia's Ice Cream in Kerry. Butter toffee popcorn ice cream. To master the craft of making ice cream, Andia Exoris and her husband George traveled for 3 years taking classes around the country. My husband has always said, ice cream makes people happy. It brings people together, Andia says. When they started their ice cream business in 2013, a few years after moving to North Carolina from New Jersey, the Exorises decided to serve flavors that honored their new home and supported the community they love. For butter toffee popcorn, one of Andia's most popular seasonal flavors, they incorporated ingredients from family-owned businesses around the Triangle, including gourmet popcorn from Ella's Popcorn in Raleigh, caramel from Chocolatip Confections in Chapel Hill, and toffee from the Durham Toffee Company. Even though you have the sweetness and creaminess of ice cream, Andia says, you still get a good punch of saltiness from the caramel and the popcorn, and the toffee gives it a nice bittersweet crunch. They're on Ryan Road in Kerry, and also on Green Level Church Road. Andia's icecream.com, and Andia's, A-N-D-I-A-S, Andia's icecream.com. And now here's another food honorable mention. Looking Glass Creamery in Columbus on Drover's Road. Actually, it's not on Drover's Road, but it says Drover's Road right underneath Columbus. in a 300-square-foot cellar in Polk County. Looking Glass Creamery ages its cheddar-style cheese to peak flavor and texture. We want to give it the proper environment where it can rest before it's released into the world, owner Jennifer Perkins says. After about 12 to 18 months, it'll have a nice crumbly texture, but still creamy. Jennifer and her husband, Andy, made cheese in Fairview, southeast of Asheville, for nearly 10 years before relocating to this larger farm in 2018. The Perkinses named their best-selling cheddar-style cheese Drover's Road, that's where the name comes from, after the path that Western North Carolina livestock drivers once traveled to reach Charlotte markets. Decades later, Jennifer says that there are still remnants of the old road around the county. If you're going on a long hike like those drovers in the Appalachians did, this is the kind of cheese that you might throw in your bag and eat for lunch, she says. It's sharp, easy to cook with, and just flat out delicious. They're on Harmon Dairy Lane. Their website is lookingglasscreamery.com. There's some pictures of the cheeses just, what do you call it when the cheeses are waiting in a room sitting on a shelf? Whatever, that's what they're doing. They're just sitting on the shelf, aging. That's what I'm looking for. And there's one of it cut up. But there's an interesting picture here of a cow looking straight at the camera, but the cow has a big mouthful of greenery, which looks kind of funny. And now, how about some more food information here? This is called Meet Our Judges. Max Trujillo and Matthew Weiss, North Carolina Food and Beverage Podcast in Raleigh. In a small downtown studio lined with foam acoustic panels, Max Trujillo and Matthew Weiss slip on noise-canceling headphones and ready their microphones. After a quick sound check, they dive into recording the latest episode of the North Carolina Food and Beverage Podcast. The friends have hosted the show since 2016, interviewing restaurant and bar owners, chefs, distillers, and brewers, the key players in North Carolina's food and beverage industry. The pair met while working together at a restaurant in Los Angeles, where they bonded over food and wine. Weiss had learned about wine while growing up, talking to sommeliers on trips to Europe with his wine enthusiast father. Trujillo had started working in restaurants in his hometown of San Jose, California. At an early age in the restaurant industry, I recognized the importance of understanding that food is far more than just the thing that's on the plate, he says. It's about everything that comes together and why it's there. Weiss later returned to his native New York to earn his sommelier certification. There, he ran beverage programs at high-end restaurants. Meanwhile, Trujillo, along with his wife and daughters, moved to Raleigh for a position at upscale Midtown Grill. Realizing that the Triangle had a burgeoning food and wine community, Weiss followed suit a few years later. In Raleigh, Weiss and Trujillo shared enthusiastic conversations about the local restaurant scene. They saw that there were stories that needed to be told, not just in the Triangle, but also across the state, stories that could amplify the industry. They both had experience in acting and weren't shy around a microphone, so they started the podcast. 2 years later, they found themselves at the James Beard Awards in Chicago, interviewing nominees on the red carpet. 6 years in, Weiss is now an account executive at Winebow, a national wine importer and distributor, while Trujillo has co-founded Crafton, a food hall in Knightdale. Every Tuesday, they meet in their studio to record another episode, tell another story, chronicle another chapter in the evolution of the food and beverage industry in North Carolina. As you start hearing how someone did this and where this came from, you start getting seduced by the story. But then you realize, well, that's the romance of this whole industry, Trujillo says. It's all about the story. Some more from Meet Our Judges about food. Chiti Kumar, chef in Raleigh. Chidi Kumar grinds up an Indian 5 spice blend called Panch Foran that includes fenugreek, kalonji, fennel, cumin, and mustard seed. Then she folds the blend into butter and adds Dijon mustard and maple syrup, creating the mixture that is sweet, spicy, and savory. She always keeps a batch in her fridge, and she loves to slather it on winter squash like kabocha or acorn whenever, or rather whatever, she can find fresh at the state farmer's market in Raleigh. Kumar was born in Pittsburgh, but at 6 months old, she moved to the northern Indian state of Punjab, and then to the Bronx when she was 8. There, cooking Indian food with her mother was a way for the family to stay connected to their heritage. It was also in New York that Kumar began to explore the cuisines of other cultures. As an immigrant, she found it easiest to make friends with other immigrants. At a Korean friend's home, she tried kimchi and pickled fish. She had friends who were Greek, Puerto Rican, Romanian. Because of them, she sampled dishes from all over the world. During college, Kumar took road trips with friends to the South, and she liked Raleigh so much that she decided to move there after graduation. There was something about the food culture of the South that connected with me deeply, she says. I didn't intellectualize it. I just liked it. Plus, Raleigh had a farmer's market where she could shop for food in the same way her parents had in India. There were also international food markets where she could buy Mexican, Indian, and East Asian ingredients. This place helped me evolve my exploration of food, she says. But food wasn't Kumar's career yet. She worked in the music industry, managing bands and playing guitar. She traveled the country and around Europe with her band, reading cookbooks in the van while on the road and exploring the foodways of the places she visited. In the Basque regions of Spain and France, she loved that communal dining was a central part of life, an experience that united people. For her, food was often how she made friends. Meanwhile, she met the man she would marry, Paul Seiler, who, with a couple of friends, opened a live music venue called King's in downtown Raleigh. Later, when Kings needed to relocate, the only space the couple could find a lease was a 3-story, 11,000-square-foot building that included a restaurant. So the pair and some partners reopened Kings upstairs and added a cocktail bar in the basement, Neptune's, and a restaurant, Garland, on the first floor. At Garland, Kumar served up dishes that featured North Carolina ingredients and celebrated her Indian roots, like trout with panch foran and tomato chutney. Despite having no formal culinary training, Kumar was a James Beard finalist for Best Chef Southeast in 2020 and in 2022, and a semi-finalist in 2017, 18, and 19. Garland's closed in 2022 after 9 years in business, but Kumar has her sights set on other projects. Gonna have to cut the article there, a few sentences short, because we've run out of time. Hope you enjoyed it so much that you'll be sure to listen next time. I'm Fred Brack, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's reading of our state magazine was underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving our community since 1974. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Our state magazine is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any other comments or questions, call the studios, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.